There are a number of great blessings and privileges revealed in the Bible that we need to be reminded of on a continual basis. For a while now, we've been emphasizing the principle revealed in Romans 8 and verse 28, where the Apostle Paul wrote, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Earlier today, I was thinking about the Apostle Peter's second letter. He was writing to Christians in the first century. And several times in his letter, he makes a statement to this effect. He said, "I know that you know these things, but I'm going to remind you of them again. And I'm going to keep on doing that as long as I'm alive." Well, I appreciate Peter's diligence. And there are certain great blessings and privileges that we need to be reminded of on a continual basis. We especially need to remember what's written in that passage we just read. We're very fortunate that in the Bible, that particular principle is illustrated over and over again. We're able to see how all things work together for good in the lives of many great Bible characters. That gives us assurance that God will work together all things for our good. And it helps us understand how that principle will unfold in the lives of God's people. But in the book of Genesis, we see how all things work together for good in the life of Joseph. Now this evening, we want to cover the information that's revealed to us in Genesis chapter 47. And in a nutshell, this chapter gives us an introduction by Joseph to his family, to Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt. Also, we see that Joseph continued his work of selling grain. That turned out to be very profitable for Pharaoh. We see that Jacob's family prospered in Egypt after they moved there. And we will see at the end of the chapter that Jacob revealed his burial plans to his son Joseph. So those are the main points that we're able to learn about as we study this particular chapter. Not only did all things work together for good in the life of Joseph, but I believe we see that all things work together for good in the life of Jacob. Were all things that occurred in the lives of Jacob and Joseph what we would call good? Certainly not. They endured many hardships, and they endured many difficulties. But all things did work together in their lives for their ultimate good. The first section of chapter 47 that we want to look at is found in the first 10 verses. And we find that Joseph introduced his family to Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt. Look at verse 1. "Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, 'My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen.'" We need to keep in mind that according to verse 10 of chapter 45, sometime earlier, when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, he gave them some instructions. He instructed them to bring their families and their animals to the land of Goshen. Now, that was a part of the land of Egypt. It was a good land, from my understanding, but it would be especially good for them because they had many animals. We also need to keep in mind that after Pharaoh learned about Joseph's brothers, he told Joseph to move his family down to Egypt, and he said that they could have access to the very best things that Egypt had to offer. They would be welcome in Egypt, and they would have access to all the blessings available in Egypt. And we find that Jacob and his family did indeed move to Goshen, as we studied last week at the end of chapter 46. It must have been a very special reunion when Jacob and Joseph met one another. It would have been interesting to be there to see that reunion. Well, they had a good cry. Well, after Joseph's family moved to Goshen, Joseph revealed that information to Pharaoh. He informed Pharaoh that his family had indeed moved to Egypt. Now, verses 2 through 4, Joseph introduced five of his brothers to Pharaoh. Verse 2, and he took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, what is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. They said moreover unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks. For the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. Now earlier, Joseph had told his brothers to tell Pharaoh, when they finally met him, that their occupation or their trade was taking care of animals. You see, some of this was planned ahead of time, and I think Joseph was demonstrating his great wisdom. He was concerned about his brothers meeting Pharaoh. He wanted them to live in the land of Goshen. So Joseph was demonstrating great wisdom, I believe, and telling his brothers what to do. And of course, Pharaoh just went right along with it. So everything was working together for good. But Joseph had told his brothers to tell Pharaoh that their occupation or their trade was taking care of animals. And of course, Joseph's brothers, five of them, met Pharaoh. And they told him that they were shepherds. Not only were they shepherds, but their family had been in the shepherding business for a long, long time. And they told Pharaoh that they moved to Goshen so that their animals would survive, and they wanted Pharaoh's permission to stay there. They said there's no pasture back in Canaan. Remember, there were 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. Canaan was affected by the famine. There was no pasture. So, what did Joseph's brothers do? They brought their families and they brought their animals down to Goshen. Well, that was the request that Joseph's brothers made of Pharaoh. Well, Pharaoh went along with that request. Let's look at verses 5 and 6. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. I believe Joseph was a wise man. Not only was he a man of faith, but he was a wise man. Did he take all of his brothers at one time to introduce them to Pharaoh? No, he only took five. I can't help but wonder if maybe Joseph thought that Pharaoh would do this very thing. Well, they had a large number of animals themselves, but wouldn't it be a good thing for Joseph's family to be involved in taking care of Pharaoh's animals? But they had their own animals to take care of. This way, some of the brothers would be able to take care of Pharaoh's animals. Some would be able to take care of their own animals. Well, it doesn't really make a big point out of that, but I can't help but think that Joseph was demonstrating great wisdom. He told his brothers what to do before they came to Egypt. He said, when you meet Pharaoh, tell him that you've been shepherds, that you've tended animals all of your lives, and as well as your ancestors. Tell him that. And ask that you be permitted to live in Goshen. All of this was working together. Well, in connection with God's providential care, His people need to use good wisdom and good judgment. Well, we find that Joseph introduced Jacob to Pharaoh. I've always found this to be very interesting. I've mentioned many, many times that when Pharaoh met Jacob, he asked him one question right off the bat. That was a rather odd introduction, but that's what happened. Verse 7. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, How old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers, in the days of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh, and went out from before Pharaoh. Well, at the time, Jacob was 130 years old. Now, to try to put things in perspective, I'd like to think about Brother Philip being 98 years old, and he gets around very well. Jacob was 130. He has just made a trip all the way from Canaan to the land of Egypt. He's been reunited with his son Joseph, and now he meets Pharaoh for the first time. And right off the bat, Pharaoh says, How old are you? I can't help but think that Jacob's age was showing. You know, we all show our ages, don't we? Whether we want to admit it or not. That's just a fact. I can just imagine that at 130 years of age, Jacob was showing it. He had been through a lot in his lifetime. Remember, he had a wrestling match with an angel years earlier, and his thigh joint was sprung, and he limped from that. I can't help but think that he still was limping from that. I just imagine maybe he was stooped over a little bit from his age. I don't think the Egyptians were used to living that long. So Pharaoh says, How old are you? Well, we know that Jacob was 130 years old. Now, he had lived a long time, but he said he had not lived as long as his fathers. And the Bible teaches in Genesis 25 and verse 7 that Abraham lived to be 175. And in Genesis 35 and verse 28, we see that Isaac lived to be 180. So long lives seem to be prominent or prevalent in this particular family. And let me mention something in connection with that. Before God destroyed the world with a flood, when he was talking to Noah, he said, Man's day shall be 120 years. Some take that statement completely out of context and have God saying that man was going to live to be 120 years old. No, that's not the point. God let Noah know that in 120 years, man's existence was going to come to an end because there was a great flood coming. We know that he wasn't saying that man would live for 120 years because at this time, Jacob was 130. This is many, many, many years after the flood. Abraham was 175 when he died. Isaac was 180 when he died. Well, I think you will see, though, that gradually lifespans began to decrease. Well, Joseph introduced Jacob to Pharaoh. And I think we need to note very carefully that Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Now, you would think that the leader of a nation would be the one blessing someone else. Not so in this case. Jacob Remember, God had made some wonderful promises to him. Jacob was the one who blessed Pharaoh. Of course, I figure that Jacob was quite a bit older than Pharaoh. But that's what happened. That would have been interesting to hear exactly what Jacob said to Pharaoh. But you know, when he was answering Pharaoh's question about his age, he indicated that he had lived through some very hard times in that 130 years, but that all things worked together for good in his life? Yes. Jacob's a very interesting character. Sometimes he brought things upon himself. Sometimes he suffered because of the activities of other people. He had some questions from time to time, but he never lost his faith in God. Well, let's notice that in verses 11 and 12, that Jacob, his sons, and his son's family settled in Egypt, and that's where Joseph took care of them. Verses 11 and 12. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. Isn't it interesting that Joseph's brothers hated him? So much so that at one point, a number of them wanted to take his life. And now Joseph is taking care of them and their families. Well, let's notice in the following verses, verses 13 through 26, that Joseph continued in his work of selling the grain. Verse 13. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, Give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence, for the money faileth? And Joseph said, Give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle, if money fail. And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses, and for the flocks, and for the cattle of the herds, and for the asses, and he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year, and said unto him, We will not hide it from my lord, how that our money is spent. My lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my lord, but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh. And give us seed, that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them, so the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to cities from one end of the borders of Egypt even to the other end thereof. Only the land of the priests bought he not, for the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them. Wherefore they sold not their lands. Then Joseph said unto the people, Behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own for seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your households, and for food for your little ones. And they said, Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except the land of the priest only, which became not Pharaoh's. Verse 13 gives us an idea of just how severe this famine was. Not only was Egypt affected by it, but Canaan was as well. We've already seen that Joseph's brother said, there's no pasture for our animals in Canaan. Therefore, it was necessary for them to come down to Egypt. Well, Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of storing up the grain during the 7 years of plenty. Pharaoh used good judgment when he put Joseph in charge of selling the grain during the famine. Remember when Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dreams? After he did so, he suggested that Pharaoh find a wise man to be put over this matter of storing up the grain. Well, Pharaoh knew that he didn't have to look any further, so he put Joseph in charge of not only storing up the grain, but he would be in charge of selling the grain during the famine, when those years of famine arrived. Now, according to verse 14, remember the famine is very severe by this time. In selling the grain to the people who were in need, Joseph first collected all the money that was available. He sold grain for money. Well, before long, that grain was exhausted. The people needed more, but they had no money. Next, when Joseph sold the grain to the people, he collected the animals that were available. I thought about this point. You suppose it's a good idea that Pharaoh asked if Joseph's brothers would like to take care of animals in Egypt? There'd be plenty of animals to tend to now. And I want you to notice that when the people came to Joseph to purchase grain, they didn't rebel. They were hungry. Their families were hungry. Their animals were hungry. They went along with whatever he suggested. But Joseph first collected all the money. Then he collected all the animals that were available. Well, eventually that grain was exhausted. And only things left were the people themselves as well as their land. That's all they had. Their money was gone. Their animals were gone. They had their own lives themselves, and they had their land. So what does Joseph do? He sold grain for the land. And consequently, he collected the land that was available. And the people agreed to be the servants of Pharaoh. They were willing to do this so that they could have something to eat. Now we learn from verse 22 that Joseph made an exception with the priest. They dealt directly with Pharaoh and he had taken care of them. So Joseph made an exception when it came to selling grain concerning the priest. But then Joseph made a law. This would have to do with the future. He made a law that required the Egyptians to give Pharaoh a fifth of their produce. That would take care of the future. So with Joseph being in charge of collecting the grain and then selling the grain, Pharaoh became very wealthy and very powerful. You know, I have thought many times in studying about this. If people of today were involved in this government program, how much corruption do you suppose there would be? Joseph was put in charge of it. He was a faithful man, faithful to God and faithful to Pharaoh. Joseph did not take advantage of people to boost himself. He saw to it that everything went to Pharaoh. You know, it would have been interesting to hear some conversations between Pharaoh and Joseph. I just suspect that Pharaoh repeatedly thanked Joseph for somehow coming down to Egypt. It was through Joseph's life and suggestion that the land of Egypt was spared, not to mention his family. Let's look at verse 27. This verse shows us that Jacob's family prospered when they were in Egypt. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt in the country of Goshen. And they had possessions therein and grew and multiplied exceedingly. Now that's a very important statement. Many, many, many years earlier, God had said that Abraham would be the father of a great nation. He had one son, Isaac. The same promise was made to Isaac. He had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob was the chosen one. Now, at the age of 130, Jacob is in the land of Egypt. There were 72 members of his family there, and now they're growing and multiplying exceedingly. God had said to Abraham that his family would spend about 400 years in a foreign land where they would be servants. Well, they haven't become servants yet. They would eventually. But they are beginning to multiply. So Jacob's family prospered in the land of Egypt. If it hadn't been for Joseph, they wouldn't be there. They'd be back in Canaan where there was a severe famine. Well, in verses 28 through 31, after Jacob lived in Egypt for 17 years, he told Joseph about his burial plans. Verse 28. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, Swear unto me. And he sware unto him, and Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. Now Jacob did not want to be buried in Egypt. He wanted to be buried with his fathers back in the land of Canaan. And Jacob took a solemn oath from Joseph that he would carry out his wishes. And we will see that eventually Joseph did exactly what Jacob wanted him to do. So Jacob and his family have gone to Egypt. They have been given a very good place to live. Joseph is taking care of them. Jacob lived in Egypt for 17 more years. He got there at the age of 130, but he continued living 17 more years after that. You know, I've wondered many times in Jacob's case, if every day he got down on his knees and thanked God for everything that had taken place. When Pharaoh asked Jacob how old he was, he indicated that he had gone through a lot of hardship during his life. But after being reunited with Joseph and seeing his family be blessed so abundantly, I just suspect there wasn't a day that passed that Jacob didn't tell God how grateful he was. Well, that's not revealed to us in the text, but I think that's something interesting to think about.